Lord, I pray that you will be with us as we read your word and have it preached to us by Samuel tonight. Help us to focus on the message that you want us to hear. Amen. So, reading from Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, all the way through to the end of chapter 4. Since then, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all of these things, such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have provided a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, so that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
What do we need? I'll tell you what we need. What you need, what I need, what we really, really need is to be true to ourselves. We do. When we find ourselves in a difficult situation and people are watching, and they're watching you. They are. When they're watching you, they're looking to see if we're going to fall over. And what we need is to be true to who we are. Now, this isn't new, in case you think I'm making this up. We've all heard it before. All the great judges on those quality TV shows like The X Factor, Australia's Got Talent, The Voice, they've all been telling us time and time again that we need to be true to ourselves, be true to who we are. How are we going with that? Every time I hear something like that, be true to yourself, I cringe. It's like, get a sense of nausea coming up. I hate that phrase. I just don't like it whatsoever. And yet, all through Colossians, and particularly in our reading today, it's all about being true to yourself, being true to who you are. Brothers and sisters, today we're being called to be who we are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. And it's a battle. We battle in Christ to be who we are in Christ. See, this is a battle of life and death. Have a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Have a look here. What is he saying? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all these things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. See what he says? Those things are how we used to live. But this is not who we are anymore. We must rid ourselves of the old life. Are we sexually immoral? Are we greedy? Do we struggle with our anger? Do we swear? This is no longer who we are. Remember, we are people whose flesh Christ put to death on the cross. So what should we do? If we have new life in Christ, we should be who we are and put to death the old life. Look at verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You see, the sinful nature is dead in us. It died with Jesus on the cross. We have a new identity even now. And our challenge is to live in a way that reflects the reality, the truth of the gospel in our lives. So be who you are in Christ. We battle in Christ, and we are rebuilt in Christ. And it's a good thing that God's a master craftsman. He's a master craftsman who doesn't just want to renovate our lives, but he's going to completely rebuild them. God is transforming us to make us who we are in Christ. See what God's doing now in us to get rid of our old selves. Have a look at verse 9. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is what? It is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Even while we battle to be who we are, God is at work. He is changing us, rebuilding us to be like Jesus. The Park Hotel. Do you remember it? Who remembers the Park Hotel? Anyone? Yeah, a few of us. Man, the old Park Hotel. Back in the late 90s, it was a pretty dingy, pretty tired. Look, if you wanted to take a friend out for a nice meal, you wouldn't take them to the Park Hotel, right? You wouldn't. You'd go somewhere else. And 15 months ago, it was shut down. It died. In fact, it was put to death. However, soon after it died, noises of life started coming out of the building. A scaffold hugged its aged frame. And slowly there was a transformation that took place within. Walls were knocked out. Paint, carpet scraped and peeled, bars smashed and removed. But after this massive trauma, carefully and cleverly, this place was brought back to life. Repainted, restored, rebuilt. And then the doors were opened to a completely transformed establishment. It was given a new life. The sign, the name on its front, was changed. No longer was this the Park Hotel. That was its old life. Now it's the George, isn't it? It's the George Hotel. The old hotel had been put to death, rebuilt, and raised again with a new identity. And you know what? That's what God's doing to us. My identity has been changed. Your identity has been changed. We are under new management. We are now the body of Christ. Our sin and our sinful nature has been put to death in Christ, and we need to be who we are. And thankfully, God's rebuilding us even as we listen to God's word here and now. So why? Why is God doing this? Well, so that when Jesus returns at that great reopening, we will look just like him. And that's true for every Christian. Be who you are in Christ. We battle in Christ. We are rebuilt in Christ. So out with the old self. Things are getting ripped out. Our old life is being put to death. Remember verses 5 to 9? This is the old paint, the old carpet, the smelly, dingy, beer-stained, cruddy carpet that's just got, it's got to go. It's sticky, right? It's got to get out of here. Paul says these things were the old us. Make sure we kill them. Make sure we take them off. This is no longer who we are. We've all been there, haven't we? It's spring. So who's been at a barbecue yet? Anyone? It's spring, the sun's out, the days are longer, it's beautiful, right? And so what do? You go to a friend's place for a barbecue, and we've all been there. The kids, they go and raid the bedrooms or play outside. The men, we kind of form this group around the barbecue, and the women form another group sorting out the salads and the table settings, all right? Now, we've seen it before enough times. I hope I'm not being too stereotypical, but every time I've been to a barbecue, that's what happened. Yeah, is it? Am I exaggerating? That's what happens, isn't it? This kind of demarcation takes place, and it's kind of fun. And at this point, everything's fine. Everything's okay. But what have you noticed happen when a group of men start getting together? What do you notice when a group of women start getting together? The men, the complaints start coming out, the complaints about our wives, girlfriends, women in general, and the problem of the ball and chain. Or the women complaining about husbands or boyfriends or men in general and their incapacity to be responsible for even the smallest thing. The gossip, the sexist jokes. Paul says, put them to death. These things, sexual immorality, slander, these things belong to our old life. Brothers and sisters, this is not who we are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. We battle in Christ. We are rebuilt in Christ. So out with the old self and in with the new self. Not only is God rebuilding our house, he's changing our wardrobe. We're getting a complete makeover here. Paul doesn't just talk about what to put to death and take off. He also talks about what to put on. He talks about what our new wardrobes should look like. Have a look with me at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, this is who we are, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is what it means to be who we are. We take off the old self and we put on the new. These are our new clothes in Christ. It means to be kind, to be compassionate. It means to be gentle. It means to be humble and patient. In short, it means to be like Christ. Just like a child dresses up like their hero, we're to dress up too. We're to dress up like Christ. He is the one we have life in. And so we're to clothe ourselves in these things because we're new in Christ. We share in Jesus' identity. But Paul continues in verse 13. He says, bear with one another and forgive one another. Just as Jesus forgives, so do we. If someone sins against us, we go to them. Now, I don't know, my first instinctive reaction when someone sins against me is to set the record straight. You did this to me and you need to understand how much that hurt me. You need to understand that they were watching when you did that. You've hurt my reputation, you've hurt my ego, and I want to set things straight. That's my main priority. But Paul here says, no, forgive. When we go, we don't go seeking to put them down, to set their record straight. We don't go to see them punished. And of course, that requires a whole lot of love, doesn't it? Verse 14, over all these, put on love which binds them together. The big overcoat that goes over our new clothing is love. At the heart of compassion, kindness, humility and forgiveness is love. That's our overcoat. Love helps us to be who we are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. We battle in Christ. We are rebuilt in Christ. And our family demonstrates Christ. Paul explores how we can be who we are as a family in Christ. Here he commands people to different acts of faithful obedience. Have a look with me from verse 18. Paul gives Christian families a series of commands so that our families can be who they are in Christ. Wives are to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. Husbands are to love their wives as Jesus loves the church. Children are to obey their parents as Jesus always obeyed his Father. Fathers are to be patient and gentle with their children. Hey, just as the Heavenly Father is patient and gentle with his adopted children, the church. Slaves are to execute their duties faithfully because in all their work they are serving the Lord Christ. And masters, well, they are to provide what is fair and right because they themselves have a Lord in heaven who has provided them with what they need. In fact, a new life in Christ. You see, the Christian family is to be a drama. No, not a drama as in a hassle. Not breakfast time drama, but a drama that acts out the reality of Jesus and his church. Jesus and his church is the reality that the Christian family must reflect. Every member of a family, which you are, has a role to play. Be who you are in Christ. We battle in Christ. We are rebuilt in Christ. Our family demonstrates Christ, and we witness to Christ. Paul finishes with a call to prayer, a call to prayer that believers would witness to Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it as clearly as I should. Now, if there's ever a clear command, that's it, isn't it? Be devoted to prayer. Give it 100% commitment. We're to pray all the time. It ought to be an obsession. Be who we are in Christ and be obsessed with prayer. We need to pray, to be watchful, to be thankful, because this is now who we are. We are connected in Christ. He is our life, and we need to constantly and continually be turning back to him in prayer. And not only do we pray to the Lord for help to be who we are in Christ, we pray that others too may hear the true message, the gospel of God's Son, so they may also have new life in Christ. Look from Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul urges the church to pray for an open door for the gospel message, even as he calls the church to make the most of every opportunity themselves. So church, be in prayer. Pray. Pray for our missionaries, our pastors, our leaders, our youth group leaders, our KFC leaders, and yes, pray for yourselves that we will be wise and make the most of every opportunity. We want to know how to answer everyone for the reason for the hope that we have in Christ. And this is where the people Paul referred to later are wonderful examples for us. People like Tychicus in verse 7, the dear brother who's what? A faithful minister and servant. Tychicus is our model. He's what we're to look like. Faithful. Faithful in serving Jesus, the gospel, and the church. Or Aristarchus in verse 10. Here's a man we know almost nothing about, but we know this. He was willing to suffer even jail for the gospel. He was Paul's fellow prisoner, sitting with him in a Roman jail even as Paul dictated his letter. Or Mark and Barnabas and Justus in verse 11. They were the only Jews with Paul in his ministry, but look what he says in verse 11. They're his fellow workers for the kingdom of God. They're models for the Colossians and for us. Be who we are in Christ. We need to prayerfully find people in this church who are strong at being who they are in Christ. They may be strong where we are weak, where we lack. Perhaps they're wise in Christ. They might be gracious, salty, opportunistic in proclaiming the mystery of Christ. So we need to spend time with them growing in who we are in Christ in this part of our life. Perhaps they're someone who's doing their best to fight the good fight of throwing off the old sinful self. Or someone who's being rebuilt in the image of Christ. Or whose family faithfully enacts the great drama of Christ's relationship with his church. Perhaps they're a wonderful example of prayer or in proclaiming the true message of Christ wherever they can. Whatever it is, we need to be on the lookout for faithful brothers and sisters who can encourage us to be who we are in Christ. And we also need to be willing to do all we can to help each other be all who they are in Christ Jesus. We're challenged two ways here. We're challenged to take seriously our need to find someone who will encourage us to be who we are in Christ. We're also challenged to think about someone else we could encourage to grow in who they are in Christ. Colossians 3, 9 to 11 says this. Don't lie to each other. Since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But what? Christ is all and is in all. Whatever we do, be true to ourself, our new self in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, you are good. And you have given us new life in your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we don't need to earn it. It's a gift. We are already saved because of Jesus. But Lord, help us to be who we are in Christ. Help us to do the battle of throwing out the old self and putting on the new. Help us to be people of grace and love and kindness and compassion and love, forgiveness. Help us to demonstrate that we are your children, even as you have made us your children in Christ. May our families be a wonderful drama enacting out the wonderful relationship that Christ has with you and the church. Lord, help us to have the boldness and the courage to build each other up in who they are in Christ. Give us the humility to approach each other, to ask for help in growing in who we are. And Lord, help us to be faithful in prayer, asking you to give us opportunities to share the wonderful news of the mystery of Christ. Christ among the Gentiles. Lord, help us to be who we are in your Son, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.